Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. A major WWE superstar is returning. The Bound for Glory series is coming to an end. And who got married last weekend? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Ric Flair is set to return to the WWE, but why do they have to wait on this one? Or are they going to?
Well, they're going to wait on this because of the TNA lawsuit that was filed a few months ago. And the main reason for that is because Ric Flair is a tremendous talent. And he obviously was not making the money that he thought he was going to make in TNA. And at WWE, he's going to be able to bring in the big bucks.
Now, the rumor right now is that he's going to be, well, managing, actually, Dolph Ziggler. Do you believe that, or are they just teasing that?
Well, there's some stuff going on with Ziggler right now that we'll get into in just a little bit, and so I think that'd probably be a good place for him, but we'll get into that when we get into the Dolph Ziggler news. Now, Andy, WWE is expecting Ryback to have a really slow rise. So he was taking on jobbers. More recently, he had a little mini feud with Jinder Mahal, or as you like to refer to him as, the Ginger. And recently, he beat Jack Swagger, and they had commented on commentary, this is the biggest win of his career. And so they're going really slow. Do you think that that's a smart move?
With this character, I think it has to be the move that you make. It's so weird because they're making him unstoppable. But the thing is, he has been taking some bumps in the ring, which I give him credit for. But I think this might be the right thing to do for this character. But I actually am starting to dig it a little bit more because the crowd's getting into it, unless they're pumping that through the PA system, which wouldn't surprise me, if that makes sense. But it's reminds me of Goldberg a lot. But I don't know if he's a better one. It's kind of like RVD and him had a kid. RVD and Goldberg had a kid.
It reminds me way too much of Goldberg. That's my biggest beef with it. I feel as though that they're going to start talking about a win streak, and I think if you had him lose, it wouldn't be nearly as big of a deal. You know, like I said with Swagger, I think that you could have him lose one match to Swagger and then, you know, have him dominate, you know, at the pay-per-view. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. I wonder what they'll do with him. You know, I mean, is he going to be wrestling John Cena at WrestleMania 2 years from now? I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. I cannot speculate what they're going to do with Ryback because I don't think that he's a Stone Cold. I don't think he's a Goldberg. I think he's that guy that they try to build up to imitate those people, but he fails.
No, and I completely agree about that. I don't know if he's – well, I don't know if he's failing right now, but
he's not.
It's almost like where do you go from here? You almost want to have – like. Someone getting beat up and then he comes in and saves him, and then there's like a tag match with him and it's like someone else. Mm-hmm. I would almost say, like, you know, have Evan Bourne come whenever Evan Bourne comes back, and then he faces, we'll say, Jinder Mahal, and almost have him just keep beating up Bourne over and over again, and then Ryback comes in for the save. Bam, you have, you know, Ryback starts another feud up. Or it could be anyone, really, that happens to. And then you could start that feud up. Maybe it'd be interesting. Because the beta test that they're running right now, the crowd is getting into the feed me more stuff. But at some point, he's going to have to talk. At some point, he's going to have to win a belt. And do you have him go for the IC or the US? It's just, you don't know right now. But
yeah, you don't. Now, Andy, the other big thing that happened this week was that the TNA Heavyweight Championship was stolen.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this.
Well, ironically, a friend of the show, David Pate, and myself, we're going to go to Ottumwa, Iowa, and Ottumwa, Iowa, because actually that's where my wife's born was born at. And then at the last minute, we're like, nah, let's watch the Bear game instead. So we decided not to go, and now I wish we would have gone because I guess these two guys decided to steal the TNA Heavyweight Championship belt and a replica belt, which is kind of weird because it makes it sound like TNA holds those titles. As in, when you go there and you win the title, you hand it back over, which I find kind of weird because WWE, you keep the title. And I don't know. I just find this weird, first of all, that somehow they got access to the belts and then they took off with them. So that means if it was before the show, at that show, you saw a replica belt, which I find kind of weird. But it's sad that someone actually would go through and steal a real belt. But they said it's only worth about $6,000, which I would have thought it would have been worth more like $10,000. But
yeah, that is a little surprising. I would say this, though. I think that it is. It can be a smart idea to hold on to the belt, but at the same time, I don't know. I would probably want my champion to walk around with the belt if they wanted to, you know, like to Austin Aries puts that over his shoulder, walks around. People are going to see that and be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What's that guy do? Like, what's that about?
Yeah. You go into the airport and he pulls it out, throws it on the shoulder, and he lets everyone know I'm the world heavyweight champion for TNA. To me, that's a genius move because then people will be like, well, what, TNA? I've never heard of TNA. Oh, we're on Spike TV. Oh, I know what Spike TV is. To me, that's exactly. That's a great selling point. It's great social, I would say what, social networking, but
nah. It's brand awareness. It really is. So
That's what I was looking at. So let's move on to what happened in WWE. CM Punk just destroys Jerry Lawler. And at one point, the rumor was that CM Punk bladed in this, and there's pictures now that prove he did not. But mm-hmm. he got broken up, and Lawler started hitting it, was saying, screw it, if he's bleeding, I'm going to make him bleed more. And he kept punching the same place where he got staples at. And the match, the way it ended, I thought was kind of cool, but in a way, there were still people kind of cheering for him still. What's it going to take to make him heal?
Yeah, I even last year when Punk had called the crowd out, they were still cheering him, you know, and that's the thing. When you have a character that's over, you need to keep him over. I didn't really care for Punk's face run. There were points in time that I really enjoyed it, with Jericho when he said, you know, hey, you don't have to attack me. All you have to do is say best in the world versus best in the world. You know, that type of stuff was really cool. But I liked him better when he had that edge, you know, the do I have everyone's attention now, you know, getting the megaphone out, sitting cross-legged, just sitting there, just, you know, destroying everything about the WWE. When you're like, this is so anti-establishment, this is great. They have CM Punk right now in a mini feud with Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah.
Let me repeat that real quick. They have CM Punk in a feud with Jerry the King Lawler. This is where feuds go to die. The Miz was in a feud with him. Mm-hmm. Ultimate Warrior was in a feud with him. This is where people go when they don't have anything else to do. And I don't like how they're using this as a proxy with Cena right now. Because the focus should be on him and Cena, not him and Jerry Lawler, and then Cena happens to be on the sidelines. I'm really disappointed in WWE for doing this because it's like saying that CM Punk is taking on a 50, 60-year-old man and that he can hang with him. And that you shouldn't be doing that. You should not be doing that at all.
Right, because when you wrestle someone who's that old, realistically, you have to wrestle their style. Not the new style wrestling. You have to wrestle the old style, the old school, like Jerry Lawler. The simple stuff, the punch from the second rope, Lawler's pile driver, if they ever allow that again. You have to go almost dumb down your basically the way you wrestle. And nothing, you know, I think Jerry Lawler, he's a great talent, great on the mic. I think that's where he belongs. But mm-hmm. We'll see what they do from here. So Damian Sandow, by the way, is just he's getting so much love because Triple H loves him. So he's going to be getting pushed maybe to main event status. But how is he really going to get there? Because this takes time. it's almost like they're going to throw him in there, like what they do with Sheamus. Do you think Sandow is going to face Sheamus for the World Heavyweight Championship?
Well, he did on SmackDown, of course.
Right, but I mean, is he going to actually win?
No, I mean, you know, they have too much invested right now into Alberto Del Rio, and then, you know, eventually Ziggler will probably win it this year. I think that I like Damian Sandow. Okay, let me say that. I like him as a wrestler, and I like him as an entertainer. Stupid finishing move, but great on the mic, and, you know, his in-ring psychology is to die for. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to hate this guy, and you do. You know, you really do. And he is a full-time heel. He'll probably never be a face. You know, I just don't see him that. But with that said, you don't want to push him to the main event because people push back. If you push him to the mid card and you let him win a title, you know, not relatively soon, but you let him win a title and you have him feud with Santino, you have him feud with Brodus Clay, you have him feud with these people who are fun characters, and then you keep building him up and then you put him in a high profile tag match, maybe in a high profile three way or four way. I think that's the way you help build him up. If you put him, like, let's say, in a high-profile four-way, like, let's say it's him, Sheamus, Ziggler, and, I don't know, Randy Orton, okay? It's a fatal four-way match, right? Or, yeah. Something like that. And then you have – Sheamus is the title holder, but you have, let's say, Ziggler win it. And then Ziggler and Orton are feuding, and Sheamus wants to get the title back, and he complains about it, but Sandow comes out. And then all of a sudden it's Sheamus versus Sandow. And then these two are in a feud together, and if Sheamus puts Sandow over, then Sandow is definitely going to be up there in that you know, top tier of talent over on SmackDown, and that's a way you can get him over. With all of that said, WWE won't do that, and I think that they're going to make a rookie mistake and push him way too quickly, way too quickly.
Now, if you're doing it properly, how long do you wait? Do you wait until after WrestleMania? Or do you do it before to put him in those matches?
I would say directly after. Because if you do it before and you have, you know, yes, you could showcase him and everything, and I understand that. But if the fans are like, what is he doing in this match? This guy doesn't deserve to be in this match. What has he done? Sandow, I do not believe from now until WrestleMania 29, I don't believe there's anything that can happen that can put him over that much.
I almost want him to get the IC title first and have him wear it and then have him talk about how he's going to be the greatest IC champion ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he can say things like Honky Tonk Man has nothing on me and Randy Savage couldn't do anything. You know, he could say a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be interesting to see where they go with this character. I think the build-up has been pretty good. He's now being showcased a little bit more. But I guess when you have love from Triple H, that's what happened. By the way, Triple H retired. He had a long speech. And that's it. So, what are they going to do with Ziggler now?
This is actually a big question. Huge question. And, you know, I had alluded to it earlier. You know, you had talked about Ric Flair possibly managing him. I think that's a smart idea. I think right now he's a little stagnant. I think that they had an idea for him and he got some big pops, but now it started dying down. Mm-hmm. And they don't have that person there to help drive him. Vicky Guerrero is not the answer. She is not. And Ziggler right now has a mini feud going on with Randy Orton, but they're wrestling at SmackDown. So it's not even like they're going to save this for the pay-per-view. They're wrestling at SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Who was he going to feud with after that? He's kind of feuding with Orton, kind of feuding with Sheamus, but they don't have a real feud set up with him and anyone else.
True. You know what they almost should do with Ziggler? They should do like a Buff and Stuff type thing, where like he's the talk and everything, and he takes the sick bumps. But then you have someone like Matt Morgan come in and be the bodyguard.
Interesting.
Because Ziggler's kind of short. He's like 5'10", if I'm correct. And Matt Morgan's, what, like 6'8", or something like that?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
So you have your bodyguard, Matt Morgan, and then he comes in, and then you can almost have, in a way for him to win the Money in the Bank, is have him beat up whoever the champion is at that time, and then go ahead and have him go in for the quick pin. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to do an Edge type deal. I think that he won't win it until like Survivor Series. I think that they're going to wait to do it till then.
Well, it could be smart to do. Could be smart.
But yeah, it's I'm going to be very excited to see where they go with, you know, Ziggler from here. So we need to thank our sponsor. It's HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You can find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK. You're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Section86.com's Off the Mark page. You're going to see a little banner. You click on that. If you go to, and then you'll go to WWEShop.com. Make a purchase over $70, and you'll save $10 off that order. So make sure you check that out and get some awesome merchandise from the WWE. Let's move on to Impact this week. So the Aces and Eights, they're dominating Impact every week. This is kind of shades of NWO, but
in
it's
a
drawn
way,
out. But it's very drawn out.
And I think that's the biggest key that you just pointed out. It is super drawn out. I'm actually getting a little tired of it. There's nothing that's been happening that's really progressed the story that's made me go, oh, now that's going on. The biggest thing happened was there was like 20 guys, you know, this past week, you know, who attacked Aries. And then, of course, this week, Aries came out and said, yeah, you hurt my right arm, but I'm left-handed. So let's get a – you know, I want to fight. I don't want to wrestle. And I don't know. I'm kind of bored with it, honestly. I really am. Which, you know, the other thing too is I got to ask about Austin Aries. The Bound for Glory series is coming to an end. Aries is the current champion. You know, are they expecting Aries to lead them into Bound for Glory? And if so – you know, what are they expecting him to do from now until then?
That is true. I mean, who's he feuding with? Who's the next guy that he's going to wrestle? I don't think they've announced anything yet.
Yeah.
So where do you go from with Austin Aries from here? I mean, maybe he takes someone on from Aces and Eights. But which one? The guy who just got patched in? You know, who's going to be the Vincent of the Aces and Eights? Or do you have him face Luke Gallows? Who we know, those at least Luke Gallows is the only one confirmed that's there, because I'm sorry, but it's pretty obvious. But it's also something that I was thinking about a while ago, because, you know, with D-Von and Bully, with those guys, basically their contracts are up. What if that's just a joke the entire time? And they've been playing it out and they resigned a long time ago. And they're a part of the Aces and Eights. You know, that's
it would be interesting.
But. One thing I did see something really funny with, you know, looks like Bully Ray's done, D-Von's done. A guy put for D-Von, he goes, "Don't drop the belt to Garrett. Don't drop the belt to Garrett over and over again."
Yeah, absolutely.
You know that's what's going to end up happening, is that D-Von will drop it, and that's it. But the rumor is that they're going to stay until the Bound for Glory series has officially ended with the top four. That's the rumor. Then they're both gone. And do they come back to the WWE, spark up the tag team division?
They need help over there.
They sure do. So, really, the Bound for Glory series, now that it is coming to a close, what now? Who's going to be the top four? Because it's close.
It is. And they have a couple matches that are ending Impact next week. We know that James Storm and Samoa Joe are the top two guys, that's for sure. But RVD, Bully Ray, AJ, Angle, Anderson, and Hardy are right there too. So there's a possibility that a couple people could leapfrog. RVD and Bully Ray may actually be on the cutting block, which would be interesting. They have done kind of like a mini feud with Hardy and Robbie E and Robbie T. I don't think they're going to continue that. I also don't think AJ Styles is going to move up at all. I think Angle Anderson probably have the best shot at moving up. So I guess we'll see what happens. You know, next week is we'll find out who the final four are. And then of course the pay-per-view is that Sunday. I'm actually looking forward to the pay-per-view because they – I think that TNA does a really great job of putting on pay-per-views the past two that I've seen so far.
Yeah, they're really good.
So I have high hopes for this one.
Do you reveal Aces and Eights if they come out?
They won't do it till Bound for Glory.
You think it's going to wait – they're going to milk it till then?
They're going to milk it waiting way, way too long.
Yeah, it's really long. Oh, by the way, something I didn't talk about last week, by the way, in the TNA segment. I didn't talk about the fact that AJ Styles is not the father and that chick was never pregnant.
Yeah, we've been trying to not talk about that. But Andy, I want to move on to our weekly topic. And I had something kind of fun I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, congratulations. You married your love of your life, Mrs. Ann.
And, of course, I got married this past weekend, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to look back on some marriages that happened in the wrestling ring. And in particular, we're going to focus on WWE since they have had the biggest publicized ones. And, Andy, the first marriage that you think of has got to be
Miss Elizabeth.
Randy Savage, Miss Elizabeth at SummerSlam 91. And this was just such a big deal. You know, this is one of the first big ones happened. There were other ones happened before. This was the biggest one.
Oh, yeah.
And during that time, they got a wedding gift, and it turned out to be Jake the Snake's Cobra.
Yep.
And this started a big feud between Savage and Jake the Snake.
And if you remember also, it was Savage. Yeah, it was Savage. He was getting his arm bit.
Yep.
They actually had Damian actually bit his arm, and people were like, oh my gosh. And he was really biting it, and you could see the marks. He was biting him pretty bad. That's what I remember about it. I don't remember anything besides that part, is the fact that he got his arm bit. But it's very memorable. But one thing we should also talk about is later on they did get married in the ring, and nothing happened. It's still... to this day, the last wedding that actually happened.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Now, a couple other ones too, Andy. Stephanie McMahon was involved in a few. She had one with The Undertaker, which was the Unholy Ceremony. Austin came out and saved the day. A few months later, she got married to Test, but Triple H... he had a video that showed him actually getting married to Stephanie with a drive-thru. It was really stupid, but nonetheless happened. And then, like, a few years after that, Stephanie McMahon and Triple H actually got married in the ring.
Yep.
Which was kind of silly. That one was a pretty memorable one because, you know, those two are actually married in real life currently, and they're probably going to stay married since Triple H wants to take over the WWE. Now, Andy, the next one I really want to talk about, though,
is Billy and Chuck.
Yes.
That was one of the funniest ones because it came out. And what I thought was funny was not the wedding part. It's because Eric Bischoff was the reverend. And he did his makeup very early in the morning. And he walked around basically the SmackDown set. And acting, and he just kept acting like he was that guy and would walk like him, talk like him. And no one knew it was Bischoff. Like only a handful of people knew it was actually Eric Bischoff. And even watching it again, it's still hard to tell that Bischoff was under that mask.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty funny. I got a good kick out of it. The other one that's kind of memorable to me, though, is the Kane and Lita one. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And that was... it was pretty weird.
Gene Snitsky was involved. It's not my fault. That guy was just weird looking. And, of course, a year after that, Edge and Lita had theirs. And then they did their, you know, sex on TV little skit that they had. That one not nearly as fun. Edge was involved a little later, though, with Vicky Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there was a telecast that was shown that Edge was cheating on her and stuff like that. And so, however, though, you know, that one happened. The most recent one, Daniel Bryan and AJ.
Yep.
On the 1000th Raw. Got married, or were going to get married. And this was interesting because she was the one that called it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the interesting part was she called it off, she said, because Dana Bryan wanted to marry her so then he could have her committed because he was talking with guys in straitjackets. And she knew it, so she came out and did her thing and then basically said what's going to happen. And Vince McMahon made her the new Raw GM. But I thought that was really interesting. It's just one of those things, like, that one was kind of weird, that whole situation. I mean, there's also a couple on NXT, which I didn't get either, but still, of all the marriages, that's the weirdest one to me. Just because it was like, huh?
Yeah.
Why? I'm just waiting, by the way. They're going to probably redo this in, like, a year.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird. The thing with the marriages are that they happen, like, once a year. Mm-hmm. And it's unnecessary. Really unnecessary. When it happened with Savage and Miss Elizabeth, it was a big deal because it was starting this feud with Jake the Snake Roberts, and it was a big, big deal. Any of the other ones that happen, you're just waiting for something to go wrong. You're, okay, Stephanie and Undertaker. Well, you're waiting for something to happen, waiting for somebody to happen. Okay, Austin comes out and saves the day. You're waiting for all these things, and I think with AJ and Daniel Bryan, you weren't focused on, okay, these two are actually getting married. You're focused on, where's the swerve? Where's the swerve? And I think they need to fix that. I think they do. But the ones that we pointed out, those are definitely very iconic in the world of wrestling. You know, Savage, Triple H and Stephanie, you know, Edge and Lita, and of course, AJ and Daniel Bryan. Very, very important in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. So marriages and wrestling, since of course one of us, I'm already married, and but you just got married, and it's still weird seeing that ring on your finger. I gotta say that. Is it the weight of the world around that now?
As I always said, if you like it, then you better put a ring on it. If you like it, you should always put a ring on it.
Excellent. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.